So hi, I'm Timothy Wood. I'm from the University of Massachusetts. I'm going to present some joint work, which was also done with Prashant Shenoy, Arun Venkatarmani, and Mazen Youssef, who's from Intel Portland. The title of our paper is Black Box and Gray Box Strategies for Virtual Machine Migration. So the environment that I want to talk about today is that of an enterprise data center. And these data centers are typically composed of hundreds or even thousands of servers, and they're connected by some high-speed network, and they usually have some kind of shared network-attached storage devices. Now, we're particularly interested in data centers where you have multiple applications running on each server. So this could be something like a shared hosting environment where multiple customers share each server. And they could be multi-tier applications that might have a front-end web server and a back-end database. That's fine. So the job of the data center is to allocate its resources to meet the service-level agreements which it makes with its customers. And these are typically things about response times and uptime guarantees. And a trend that we're seeing in data centers is that virtualization is becoming increasingly common. So here we'll list some of the benefits of virtualization. The first is that it makes it really easy to cleanly run multiple applications on one server. And you can do this just by running each application inside its own virtual machine. And this provides isolation between your applications, better security, all these things. It's also pretty trivial to adjust your resource allocations to virtual machines. You can change the CPU priority so they'll be scheduled more often, or adjust the memory allocation so they can have more RAM. And finally, there's the possibility of virtual machine migration. And this is the technology that we're really trying to leverage in this project. So VM migration is basically transparent to the applications which are being moved. And it really incurs no downtime for the application, although there is a period of overhead while the virtual machine is moved from one physical server to a different physical server. So we'd like to see how we can use virtualization to more efficiently utilize the data center's resources. Now, to start to do this, let's look at the types of applications that are running these data centers and their workloads. As you can see, these applications are often web-based apps, and they can have highly dynamic workloads. There might be multiple timescale variations. This figure on the left shows the arrival rate at a website over several days, and there's both some variation from day to day as well as significant variation from hour to hour. There's also the possibility of transient spikes or flash crowds. So on the right, we have the World Cup soccer website, and at the period where they're updating scores for live matches, there's a huge influx of traffic, so the peak is, you know, 7 or 8 times higher than the average load. So we need to figure out how we can provision the data center's resources to meet these rapidly changing demands. Now, the problem is that if you're not able to sufficiently allocate your resources, then applications can become overloaded. And we say that a hotspot forms in a data center if the resource demand for an application exceeds its provision capacity. So to avoid these hotspots, there's a couple different provisioning techniques. You can do static over-provisioning, where you're just trying to allocate your resources to meet the peak loads of your applications. But as you can tell from those pictures, that can be really wasteful of your resources because it's not as suitable for dynamic workloads where the peaks are much higher than the average utilizations. It's also difficult to predict what your peaks are going to be. With dynamic provisioning, you're trying to be a little more flexible and you're changing your allocations based on the incoming workload. But often this is done manually by administrators, so there can be a lag between when spikes come and when more resources are actually allocated. Although this is becoming easier with virtualization because you have these simple knobs which you can turn. So the problem that we are really looking at here is how can we automatically detect and eliminate hotspots that form in a data center environment when you don't have enough resources for your applications. And our approach to do this is to use virtual machine migration and dynamic resource allocation. So I've given you some introduction. Let me outline the rest of my talk. I'll next give an overview of our system. Then we'll go into kind of the three questions which our system has to answer. And then we'll look at the implementation and evaluation, finish up with some conclusions. So we've built a system which we call Sandpiper. It's named after a migratory bird. Also has a very long nose. And the job of Sandpiper is to automatically detect and mitigate hotspots by using virtual machine migration. So to do this, you have to answer three questions. You first have to know when to migrate the virtual machines. So this is essentially trying to figure out when hotspots are forming so that you can respond to them and make sure that you don't have poor application performance. Next, you have to figure out where to place your virtual machines. So you want to balance the load somehow in your data center, but but you don't just want to move them to a new location and have a new hotspot form there. Finally, you have to figure out how many resources do you need to give each of your virtual machines, because if hotspots are forming, it means that their needs are changing. So you have to have some kind of profiling agent to figure out the resource requirements. So when we're answering all these questions, another part of our work is that we want to try to figure out how much information you really need to base these decisions on. And I'll talk about that more as the talk goes on. So let me give you an overview of our system architecture. We're assuming we have a data center with multiple physical machines, they're abbreviated as PM, and each physical machine could have several virtual machines. So on each physical machine, we run a component which we call the nucleus, and its job is to monitor the resource usage and report that back to the Sandpiper control plane. So this control plane is a central server which really implements the main intelligence of our algorithm. So it's composed of a couple different components. The first component is the hotspot detector, and that has the job of answering that when question of when is the hotspot forming. So it passes information on to the profiling engine, which answers the how much question, or how many resources do you need to allocate to your virtual machines. And finally, we send our information on to the migration manager, and it has to determine where you can migrate virtual machines to make sure that they can get those resources and that more hotspots won't form. So it'll send these commands back to the different virtual machines to cause them to be moved around. So as I said, when we're trying to answer these three different questions, we want to look at how much information you need to base those decisions on. So we kind of divide this into two classes of information, a black box approach and a gray box approach. In the black box approach, you're really treating each virtual machine as a black box, so you're not running any monitoring software inside the virtual machine itself. And the benefit of this is that you're completely operating system and application agnostic. But it can clearly be a little bit difficult to get accurate resource utilization information without going inside the virtual machine. You can get some statistics, though. For example, you can imagine that the virtual machine needs to send all of its network packets through its network interface card, which isn't really inside the virtual machine itself. So by monitoring the data going in and out of this network card, we can get an idea of the bandwidth requirements for the virtual machine. Now, our gray box case has extra information. So now we're able to run monitoring software inside the virtual machine itself. So this also gives us access to the application logs. So this can improve your hotspot detection because you can look directly at your Apache logs and see whether you're meeting your SLAs. So the problem with this is that it's not always feasible. Some data centers just rent whole virtual machines to their customers, so the data center itself isn't able to run any monitoring software inside those virtual machines. So we'd like to see whether the black box approach is sufficient on its own, because if so, I mean, that'd be great. You can just have one unified approach which can deal with any type of application or operating system. On the other hand, we want to see whether the gray box approach can overcome some limitations of the black box. So now let's move on to trying to answer these three questions of when, how much, and where to. So before we answer the when question, I'll talk a little bit more about how we do our monitoring in the black box case. And we've built our system on top of Xen, which is an open source virtualization platform. And one of the aspects of Xen is that it uses what they call a driver domain. And this is a special virtual machine. It's also called domain zero. And one of its jobs is to hold all the drivers that are used by the other virtual machines. So it holds the network and the disk drivers. So this means that we can run our nucleus component inside of the driver domain, and it can kind of gather data about the other virtual machines on that physical machine. So we can get CPU statistics by querying the hypervisor, which is the scheduling entity for all the virtual machines. We can also gather network information by looking at the driver utilization for the network cards used by the virtual machines. And we can also indirectly measure the amount of memory which is being used by the virtual machines. This is a little bit harder. The only way we can do it is by detecting whether virtual machines are trying to swap pages from memory to disk. So we can look at the disk I/O for the virtual machine and see if it's swapping to its swap partition. So this means that we only really know when memory performance is poor for the virtual machine. We don't actually know how much it needs. So that can be a slight limitation of our black box approach. So once we've gathered some resource utilization information, we now want to figure out whether a hotspot is actually occurring. And our basic approach is to use resource thresholds. So we say that a potential hotspot is forming if the utilization on a physical machine is exceeding some threshold. And we have thresholds for each resource. Now, so that we don't trigger lots of unnecessary hotspots, we have a couple extra things that we do to try to do this a little more intelligently. The first step is that we only trigger hotspots if we see that there's sustained overload on a system. And this is shown basically as an example on the figure on the left. We're showing the utilization of a system over time. And here there's this transient spike which goes over that horizontal line which represents our resource threshold. However, because this isn't sustained overload, Sandpiper knows that it can just ignore this and it won't consider that to be a hotspot. The second thing that we do is we use an autoregressive time series model on all the measurements that we gather. So this lets us use historical data to predict the future values and see what trends the utilization is going through. So this is shown in the middle figure. We have what you would consider sustained overload because there's several measurements above the threshold, but the trend is decreasing. So we can see that this hotspot will probably resolve itself, so we don't need to explicitly do anything about it. It's only in this third figure on the right where we both have sustained overload and we have an increasing trend that we'll consider the system to be overloaded. So if we've seen that a hotspot is forming, that means that we need to do some resource profiling to figure out how much of each resource we need to allocate the virtual machines so that they won't continue to have hotspots. And we do this, again, by using some time series analysis. In this case, we want to look at our historical data that we've measured about resource utilization and use that to create what we call a utilization profile. And the profile basically tells the probability that a certain level of utilization was required in the past. So then we can use this profile to provision the virtual machines to be able to meet the peaks of their recent workload. So here, we're trying to provision the virtual machine to be able to meet 90% of its observed workload, which corresponds to about 60% of this particular resource. Now you can imagine that there's a slight problem here. If, for example, your CPU utilization on a machine is saturated at 100%, then all you know is that your virtual machines are getting some amount of CPU, but they probably could use more if there was more available. And this represents one of the main limitations of our black box scenario, and that's that it can't really figure out how much more resources you need if utilization is saturated. So that's one of the cases where our gray box system can do better. And the reason for this is that it has both application knowledge and request level data. So you might be able to use this to build a model of your system. So for example, we've built a gray box module which is based on the Apache web server, and it tries to predict the amount of resource utilization that you'll need based on the incoming request rate that it's seeing. So if we figured out that there's a hotspot forming, and we figured out how many resources our virtual machine needs, now we have to figure out where we can place the virtual machines so that they can actually get these resources. So the basic idea is we want to migrate virtual machines from our heavily loaded servers to servers that have very low load. Now, a problem is that there could be multiple hotspots which form in the data center at the same time. And there's also the problem that we're looking at three different resources. So there could be some machines which are overloaded because they don't have enough CPU, others that don't have enough network capacity, and some that just don't have enough memory. So we use a heuristic which we call volume. And basically the idea of volume is that it's kind of like the product of your CPU, network, and memory utilization. Although from the equation you can see it's a little bit different from that. But basically the idea is that we can compute the volume for each server. And if the utilization for any one resource is close to 100%, then that server is going to have a very high volume. So then we can use this as a unified way to look at all the different machines in our system and try to attack the most overloaded ones first. Now, second problem that we have to look at when dealing with this is that each migration that we perform incurs some overhead. So there's an overhead both on the machine that's being migrated as well as on the other virtual machines on both the source and the destination of the migration. So in order to try to minimize this overhead, we want to minimize the cost of this overhead, and we've seen that the cost is basically determined by the amount of memory which the virtual machine has been allocated. And that's because to do a migration, you're basically just copying the virtual machine's memory over the network from one location to another. So to do some cost-benefit analysis, we try to migrate the virtual machine, which has the highest volume to RAM ratio. And the reason for this is that we're basically able to maximize the amount of load being transferred, which is represented by the volume component, while minimizing the overhead on migrations, which is represented by the virtual machine's RAM. So our algorithm proceeds by first trying to do migrations from heavily loaded servers to low loaded servers. And I mean, that's pretty straightforward. You can just move a virtual machine from one place to another. Now, one of the rules that we have to follow when doing this is that we don't want to create any new hotspots in our system. So for example, if that second physical machine there had been more loaded, then migrating that one virtual machine might have just created a new hotspot on the second server. So this can be a particularly bad problem if you have high average utilization in your data center, because there might not be any servers that you can migrate to that won't just create new hotspots in those locations. So in that case, we need to swap virtual machines. And here, we just are exchanging a high volume virtual machine on one server with a low volume virtual machine on another server. So the problem with using swaps is that it actually requires three migrations. So you have to first move a virtual machine to a spare server and then initiate the other migrations. And the reason you need to do this is that you might not actually be able to hold both of the virtual machines being swapped in the same server at the same time, either because there wouldn't be enough CPU for both of them, or there might not be enough memory on the system to hold them both. So the benefit of swaps is that they can increase the number of hotspots which we're able to resolve, but we want to try to limit their use because they do incur an extra overhead. So now let me talk a bit about implementation and evaluation of our system. So just very briefly, we've built our system on top of Xen. We have a test bed of about 20 Pentium servers, and we've used a mix of just PHP benchmarks that we've designed, as well as some realistic data center applications like Rubis, which is a multi-tier eBay-like web app. So here we have an example of one of the experiments that we've done, and we're just trying to demonstrate how the migration works. So here we have three different physical machines, which are represented by the different subplots. And we're showing the resource utilization, or the CPU utilization, of five virtual machines that are residing here. And they're each colored a different color. And the utilization is stacked so that the top line in each plot represents the total utilization for that physical machine. So in this experiment, our virtual machines were serving some dynamic PHP scripts. And we had clients that were requesting them at different rates, so that we could adjust the amount of resources required for each virtual machine. And we've configured Sandpiper in this case to try to trigger a migration if it sees that the utilization exceeds 75%. So here Sandpiper is able to detect and respond to three different migrations. The first one here, this really represents the ideal case for Sandpiper, because it can move this blue virtual machine, which is the most loaded virtual machine, to the third physical machine, because that one has the least load. A little bit later on, there's a second migration. And in this case, we would have liked to move the green machine, because it's the one with the highest load. But if we were to move it to either of the other servers, we would actually just be moving where the hotspot is. So instead, Sandpiper can automatically detect that it should move this red virtual machine instead. And in this third case, there's two virtual machines that we could have chosen to move, either the blue or the purple one, and they both have approximately the same utilization, but Sandpiper actually determines that it should move the purple one because it happens to have a smaller memory footprint than the other one. So this allows Sandpiper to minimize the migration overhead. So now let me talk about how Sandpiper can deal with memory hotspots. In this experiment, we're using the SPECJB benchmark, and its memory utilization increases significantly over time. So we want to see how Sandpiper can deal with this increase in memory requirements in both our black box system and our gray box system. And so the black box system, as I said, can only know that it needs more memory when it detects pages being swapped from memory to disk. So in this case, Sandpiper is configured to always increase a virtual machine's memory share by 32 megabytes every time it detects page swapping. Now, the gray box system, on the other hand, has access to more detailed OS information. So it knows how much RAM the OS thinks is free at any time. And the gray box system is set to always try to maintain at least 32 megabytes of memory free. So this figure on the left shows the amount of memory which is allocated to the virtual machine in each of these two different scenarios. And basically what you can see is that the gray box system, which is shown in green, basically always has more memory allocated to it than the black box system. And that's because it can be proactive in adding memory. It doesn't have to wait for swapping to occur. So you can get an idea of how this would impact performance by looking at the figure on the right, where we're showing the amount of the rate at which pages are being swapped to disk over time during this experiment. And there's a significant amount of swapping that occurs in the black box case. There is a small amount of swapping that happens for the gray box system, but if you were to change how we configured it to always try to maintain more memory free, then there wouldn't have been any swapping at all in the gray box case. So this represents one of the benefits of our gray box system, and that's that you can really improve application and performance by proactively increasing the memory allocation. So in this experiment, we're trying to build like a more realistic data center prototype. And we have 16 servers that are running 35 virtual machines. And here we're running some realistic web applications. So here we really want to stress Sandpiper. So we cause there to be 6 hotspots in the system. And it's affecting 40% of the virtual machines that are running there. And we also have a mixture of 4 CPU hotspots and 2 network hotspots. And we want to see how Sandpiper can resolve this scenario. So this figure on the left shows the number of hotspots that are in the system over time for both Sandpiper, which is shown in green, and a static system, which doesn't incur any migrations. So you can see that by the end of the measurement interval, Sandpiper is able to eliminate all the hotspots, while the static system would continue to be overloaded after that. Now, there are a few places here where Sandpiper has more machines being overloaded than the static system, and that's because of the migration overhead, which it incurs every time it does a migration. So Sandpiper actually uses 7 different migrations and 2 swaps to resolve all these hotspots. So there's a fair amount of overhead due to that. However, the second figure shows the number of time intervals that virtual machines spend overloaded in these two different systems. And you can actually see that the total amount of time that Sandpiper spends in overload is less than without migrations. And that's only measuring during the period where Sandpiper is using migrations. After that, Sandpiper wouldn't have any overload, whereas the static system would continue to be overloaded. So before I finish up, I should mention some of the related work that's in this area. There's been some done by Manasseh and Banani, which looks at single server resource management. So they're looking at allocating resources to several virtual machines that are running on just one physical machine. There's also 2 systems, Violin and Virtuoso, which come from Purdue and Northwestern. And they're using virtualization for dynamic resource control and grid computing environments. So they're dealing more with scientific workloads. and they don't have these same stringent SLAs that we do. So they can generally do provisioning over longer time periods. There's also the Scirocco system. So they have a great framework where they let application owners request resources from service providers. But one of the main differences between our work and theirs is that we're really placing all this control inside the data center itself. And that's because we're trying to do this to respond to these SLAs very quickly. So we need to be able to do rapid resource allocation and really quick migrations in order to rapidly eliminate hotspots as they form. There's also a VMware product, which they call the Distributed Resource Scheduler. And the job of this program is to automatically migrate virtual machines to make sure that they're receiving their assigned resource quotas. But here they require the system administrator to specify what these resource quotas are. So our system, on the other hand, is able to change these quotas automatically over time in response to the changing workloads. So just to conclude, I hope that I've shown you that virtual machine migration is a viable tool for dynamic data center provisioning. And we've shown that Sandpiper, even just using black box information, is able to effectively eliminate after detecting these hotspots. We've also shown how the gray box system can improve performance in some scenarios, particularly for proactive memory allocation. And in our future work, we're looking at improving how our black box system can handle memory monitoring, and also seeing how we can add support for replicated services, because virtualization really makes it easy to start up and stop clones of of applications. So thank you for listening to my talk, and if you have any questions, I'll take them now. Right, so he's asking about how we treat all resources as the same and seeing whether some applications might rely more on specific resources. And I mean, that's true, that's definitely a good point that for different applications, their needs would be different. For that volume metric, that's mainly being used for our black box case where we're not making any assumptions about the applications that are running there. But I can see that definitely if you were building like a gray box system where you're using application knowledge, you would definitely try to use that to inform the models that you're building and also for determining when to trigger hotspot mitigation. That's true. And that's part of what we're looking into more is using the more detailed memory information that you can kind of peek inside virtual machines to get. I think the main thing is that in our black box case, we're trying not to need anything like that. So even if you were to look inside virtual machines to be able to gather some of that data, you would have to know something about the operating system that's running or what types of applications are running so you can, you know, get an idea of what to look for. Whereas in the black box case, you know, you could be running any operating system or any type of application. And that is somewhat realistic for some data centers where they really do lease whole virtual machines to customers and the customer can run anything they want inside there. Thanks. Can you repeat the end of that? Yeah. I'll repeat the question, I can hear you better now. Right, he was asking how do you determine how much more memory you can add? There might be some limitations such as you could only be on a physical machine with some limit of memory. And partly we try to look at how much memory is on the physical machine when we're increasing allocations. And we can try to detect that there won't be any more spare memory to expand into. And in that case, I mean, I didn't talk about it, but in this experiment, there actually is a migration partway through where it migrates the virtual machine to a new physical server, which has 2 gigs of RAM as opposed to 1 gig of RAM, so it can expand into that area better. It is true that we're being pretty nice to our virtual machines and that we're letting them expand whenever they seem to need it. So it's probably true that in a more serious deployment, you would have to have some extra limitations on the amount of memory which you're allowing virtual machines to expand into in order to better do that kind of emission control, definitely. We look at all the three resources that we look at, CPU, network, and memory. We can use any of those to determine when to do a migration. Mm-hmm. So he's asking about how you might be able to extend the system to take into account things like applications which spike more frequently, get flash crowds more often. I think you could try to do that. It's true that you probably don't want to put multiple applications which are likely to have flash crowds often together, but I think we're kind of assuming that flash crowds are rare and that they're not, by definition, they're not something that you can predict. So we're not trying to make any assumptions about that level of resource requirements. But part of that actually would be taken into account by the profiling that we do because we always try to allocate resources to meet the peaks of the historical load that we see. So if an application had a flash crowd, you know, within the last several hours, that would be included in the amount of resources that we continue to give it. So we do try to, you know, be conservative in the amount of resources that we give.